Hello, ladies. Welcome to Emerge Woman Magazine podcast, where we keep it real, relevant, and relatable for today's woman. I am so excited to have two powerhouse women on the podcast today, Gina Glass and Mapillar Don. Both are CEO and founders of Foundations. This month is a special month. It is National Sickle Cell Awareness Month, and you might see a lot of information on social media, on websites, on all of that about sickle cell disease. Well, tonight we're going to discuss and tackle what it is, why it's important that we make communities aware, and that it is a global disease that we want people to be aware of. Not only are we advocating for a cure, I've been working with sickle cell patients for the last 20 plus years of my career. I started out as a lab tech and blood bank, so I actually used to cross match blood products for patients who were transfused, both with sickle cell disease and other blood diseases as well. But I moved into the advocacy side to educate, market, promote, and all of that. And so I was blessed to meet amazing women across the country like Mapillar and Gina, who are going to share their stories tonight. So please tune in. We are coming to a close on Sickle Cell Awareness Month this week, but we want the awareness to continue on, not just for a month, beyond a month. You will see sickle cell highlighted in every single issue of Emerge Woman Magazine, because I am truly committed to this community and making sure that as we rise and our platform expands, that we have a quality platform in the mainstream media for sickle cell awareness. So let me just introduce first our ladies. We have Mapillar Don, who is the founder of MTS Sickle Cell Foundation, an award-winning foundation, which is one of the fastest growing in Atlanta. She's doing a lot of wonderful work within a community, and she has three beautiful girls, which she'll share. But Mapillar is doing a lot of wonderful work, from photo shoots for the family to parking passes to providing other services that help the sickle cell community. And then we have also the amazing Gina Glass, who is a single mother of two, a 16-year-old and a 3-year-old. Sickle cell warrior. She was an insurance underwriter for two large insurance companies in California and Nevada, and she's turned now full-time sickle cell advocate. She is the president of the only foundation in Nevada dedicated to sickle cell disease awareness. So that is absolutely amazing. With being a new resident of Las Vegas, you hit the ground running. And so I thought it would be great to have both of you on because you both have very successful foundations in terms of your impact and, you know, how quickly things are moving. And so we want people to know that funding is necessary, awareness is necessary, and support, continued support, just, you know, not just during Sickle Cell Awareness Month, but beyond. So I'm going to dive into these questions and start with Mapillar. So Mapillar, just give us a little, you know, brief synopsis. What is sickle cell disease and how has it impacted your life? Just please share a little bit about your journey.
All right. Well, excuse me. Thank you so much, Kiana, for this opportunity. And hey, Gigi.
Hi.
So great to be on with you. Excuse me, you guys. I just got off work and I think I got to get my voice back. But I'm so honored to be on here with you wonderful ladies, and thank you for allowing us your platform, Kiana, to, you know, talk about the work that we do and how we can all benefit the sickle cell community. So sickle cell, in essence, is a genetic blood disease. You're born with it. You don't catch it from somebody. But it's a genetic blood disease that a person inherits one gene from each parent. And what that condition does is, instead of having a round and flexible red blood cell, the sickled blood is deficient in hemoglobin S, which causes it to have a sickled or banana form. And so instead of going through your blood vessels nicely and smoothly, instead of being flexible and round, it is sticky and it gets clogged up in the vessels, and that the clogging and bunching up of the cells leads to extreme, just different complications, extreme pain, because, you know, the oxygen is not going to the rest of the body. It can affect every aspect of a person's body, of a person, because, you know, blood is everywhere. It leads to stroke. It leads to acute chest syndrome. It can lead to, you know, complications with your eyes, just so many things that sickle cell leads to, and it affects a person's entire life, and also it affects the whole family. You know what I mean? Yes. Not just the person who's affected by the disease itself. So that's sickle cell in a nutshell. A little bit about my story. As you said, I have three beautiful daughters, and they all happen to have sickle cell disease. Wow. Now, that's something else, because a lot of people feel like sickle cell skips generations. And to be honest, that was their father's perception of the disease, because he was coming from a place where his mom and dad had the trait, but only one of their kids had the disease. So part of what we want to do is educate people that if you have the sickle cell trait, that with every pregnancy, if two people have the trait with every pregnancy, there is that 25% chance that your child will have the disease, and a 50% chance they will have the trait, and 25% that they won't have the disease or the trait. But in our case, all three of our children, because it is a game of chance, all three of our children came out with the disease. So the reason why I do what I do is because, as a single mother, you know, just navigating this journey, not having much support, little to no support, let's be honest, I was looking around trying to find help, and I didn't see any. And I didn't really see at the time much advocacy or awareness going on for sickle cell. So, you know, I just decided to be that change that I was looking for. I didn't know how it was going to happen, because I'm already busy with the kids. We have a lot of challenges, especially with my middle daughter, Khadija. She had a stroke when she was 7. And because of that, we do transfusions every month. And due to that complication, she's had so many different surgeries. So we're already busy. But, you know, I was scared. I'm not going to lie. I was scared to even start a foundation, because I didn't want to fail, for one thing. But, you know, I kept telling myself I don't have the time. But really it was fear. Because for me, you know, it's just too important to fail.
Right.
So many people need help. So, but I started the foundation because it's needed. I think that is the reason why the foundation is so popular right now and has grown so much, is a testament to the need. Because if you do what you say you're going to do, people are going to come for it. And that just tells you people need it. So it's just
absolutely.
It's a testament to that. But I think that's enough for now about me.
Thank you. Thank you for so graciously sharing. No, that was great. Thank you. I loved how you said you wanted to be the change that you needed and that you wanted to see. You got up and you pressed past the fear and you emerged. That's what this is all about, inspiring, yes, because you never know what mom can be listening in, ladies, who has that same inkling in her heart where she is, and or dad, you know, for that matter, who may want to step out and start, you know, the process and the journey. So, Gina, how has sickle cell disease impacted your life? And tell us a little bit about your journey and how you learned about the disease.
Sickle cell, I actually have a great niece who has sickle cell disease. She has SD, a different type. But I actually forgot that I had the sickle cell trait. And I was a teen mom, so my oldest daughter is 16, and I was told when she was like about 5 or 6 that I would not be able to have any more children. So having children was not something on my mind. So, of course, whether or not I had the sickle cell trait was not something that I thought about or even had a desire to think about. And then 13 years later, of course, I, you know, ended up pregnant. And my daughter's father, he actually, he knew he had the sickle cell trait, and I just was like, well, I can't have any more kids anyway, so it's not going to be a big deal. Like, and he was okay with not having children. So I was, you know, fine. And then I found out I was pregnant, and I was more scared at 31 to have a kid than I was at 18 when I had my first child.
Wow.
So, it wasn't until we had, like, some routine testing for, like, pregnancy testing that I received the status that I actually did have the sickle cell trait. But the way that I received the information, since it was electronically, the way I read it, I thought it was saying that I had the sickle cell disease. And I was like, well, how could I go all this time and not know that I had the disease? I've never had any pain or anything like that. So I had to call my OB and ask, like, hey, I got these results. I have sickle cell. And she's like, no, you don't have sickle cell, but you have the trait. So at this point, we need to test, you know, the father of your child, and then we need to refer you guys to a geneticist. So at this time, I'm like 5.5 months pregnant, and when they referred me to the geneticist, she broke down what the possibility of my child having the disease was, and she explained that there was a 25% chance that she would have the disease and a 50% chance of the trait and 25% of nothing at all. And she was going over the options that I had as far as at this point what I could do. And one of her options was abortion. And I'm like, well, for 25% chance, I don't think that that risk is that great for me to want to explore an option like terminating the pregnancy. And I remember thinking like, wow, I know other people have children with, to me, way worse conditions than, you know, having sickle cell, because I didn't know what, you know, it all entailed. And I'm like, why is that even an option for me to have an abortion just because of the 25% chance that the child could have the disease? So it turned out after she was born, maybe a couple weeks later, we got the confirmation that she did have the disease. So I just started, you know, researching and learning more about, you know, sickle cell and what it entailed. And when we were in California, there seemed to be a lot more resources for children and families with impacted by sickle cell. So I didn't think anything of it until we relocated to Nevada and my daughter got sick and we went to the local hospital and they were like, you know, I let them know she had sickle cell and I told them, and they told me, you know, she has a fever, we're going to give her Tylenol. They gave her Tylenol and they gave her an antibiotic shot and sent her home. And when I got her home, her breathing sounded labored. I'm like, something's not right. So I need to get online and find another hospital because where I live at, unfortunately, I didn't feel that, you know, there was probably a lot of people who were impacted by sickle cell. So I actually had to find another hospital in a more, you know, urban or whatever you want to call it neighborhood. And I found one and it was like 40 minutes from my house. But when I took my daughter there and I told them she had sickle cell, they ran, you know, chest x-rays. And it turned out that both her lungs were like almost full of pneumonia and they put her in ICU like immediately. So at that point I was like, well, let me look and see what else is out here for, you know, people with sickle cell. And I really couldn't find anything out here. And I'm like, if I was the type of person who kind of just went with what the doctor said originally and didn't look further into it, like my child was struggling to breathe. Like she might not be here if I wouldn't have taken the extra step to, you know, Google and find someplace else to take her where they actually diagnosed her properly because they actually had been familiar with people with sickle cell and what to check for the disease.
Right.
Yeah, so at that point, I decided it was time to start, you know, a foundation. Because other, like I looked for other sickle cell foundations in Nevada, like I couldn't find any. And then through a high school friend who connected me with someone here in Vegas that had a daughter with sickle cell, I found out that the Children's Cancer Foundation actually had a sickle cell program. So I began going to like support meetings there. And I just felt like where it wasn't in a place where, you know, people who were most likely affected by sickle cell could easily get to. So I decided to start my foundation, Dream Sickle Kids Foundation. And after a few meetings, I learned from going to the sickle cell meetings at the Cancer Foundation that there were no plans for a sickle cell walk. And I felt like, you know, sickle cell, like any other disease, there should be some awareness and a walk for, you know, awareness every year. There shouldn't be a year that goes by that there isn't a walk to raise awareness and funding for sickle cell. So I decided that I would put it on myself.
Wow. What a powerful story. Thank you. That's amazing, ladies. You just got right to it.
Thank you.
And yeah. You are the type of women that change the world. When you just don't wait for everything to be perfect, there will never be a perfect condition or situation
right.
where you could get started. Never. So thank God, you know, that you did get started and the families that are helped. You'll never know your impact fully, but it's great. It's great. So just real briefly, let's talk just really, really, really briefly about treatment. So I know there are medical, you know, medications and things like that that help the patient. But one of the best ways that our listeners in their respective areas and community, whether they're listening in from Nevada, from Atlanta, from Pennsylvania, from whatever, you know, state that they're listening from, one of the best ways that individuals can support is through blood donations, because we need to make sure that we have a diverse blood supply, because this is a global
right.
disease. It doesn't just impact Black people or Spanish people or, you know, it's several ethnic groups that are impacted by this disease. So can you, one of you just choose who can talk to me a little bit about the importance of blood donations, because I know there are regular treatments that the patients go through, but one of the main forms of treatment is blood donation. Who wants to take that one?
If you don't mind, I'll take this one because it affects my family so personally. As I said, when my middle daughter, Khadija, she's now 13, but when she was 7, she had a stroke. And just for those who don't know, sickle cell is the leading cause of childhood stroke. And
wow.
So they're tested to see if they're susceptible to stroke, and there are some measures to prevent a stroke, and blood transfusions is one of them. So since the age of 7, Khadija has been doing, she's been having monthly blood transfusions. And right now she's up to 5 or 6 units of blood every month that she has to do in order to prevent another stroke. And there are so many patients who are on chronic transfusions because not necessarily for a stroke, but some of them, their blood counts are very low, and transfusion help to bring it up to decrease the odds of, you know, pain crises.
So, absolutely.
Definitely, blood donation saves lives every month for us. And just recently, we're in a situation where for my oldest daughter, Tuli, she has developed an antibody to JSB.
Wow.
Because sickle cell patients tend to get frequent transfusions, they have to be cross-matched to make
yes.
sure that their blood is coming from someone who is as closely matched to them genetically. And they have to screen for antibodies that they could react to when they get the blood. So that just makes it even more harder for people patients who have sickle cell disease because, and Kiana, you can probably speak more to this. When it comes to blood donations, minorities, we don't get out there much to donate.
Right.
So one of the struggles
right.
with the sickle cell community is, you know, to encourage our friends, our families to donate because there are so many people in our community who rely on those blood services. But Tuli has developed the JSB antibody. And what that means is for her, like 100 people may donate and only one person's blood she may be able to get because 99% of the population has JSB. So
wow.
for us, if Tuli is in any kind of crises or in any kind of emergency, one of the first things that has to come out of my mouth is to tell them that my daughter has JSB so that they can contact the blood bank right away. Because whether or not she gets a transfusion, she needs to have blood ready.
Absolutely.
So, wow. Yeah, blood donation is so important for the sickle cell community, and we cannot stress enough, we cannot beg enough, but we really, really, wherever you are, it doesn't matter where you are, if you've never had a why, if you've just never thought about it, please know that we need you, and trust me, your blood is going to be saving somebody's life. And if you can consider being a regular donor, that would be so important. As minorities, we don't donate much. It's just a fact. But minorities need you to donate and save lives.
Yes, and thank you so much for sharing. So, on a number scale, less than 2% on a national average of blood donations are contributed by African Americans, and a little less than half of that is contributed by Hispanic or Latino Americans. So, there are other stats with the Asian community and all of that, but in terms of providing those special antigen match blood units, as McCullough mentioned, we definitely need to diversify the blood supply. We need everyone donating. Now, anyone can be a match for somebody with a rare blood type or a complex match, but specifically for sickle cell disease, we need more representation in the blood supply. And even in Be the Match, less than 7% of the registrants are minorities. So it's really, really critical that we have podcasts like this. We have foundation and educational opportunities and awareness so that people know what the needs are. And like Gina mentioned as well, that's why the walk, it shouldn't be a year without a walk. It shouldn't be, held back. We need to have, that awareness constantly going. So thank you, McCullough, for sharing the importance of blood donations. I think you shared that perfectly. So Gina, can you just tell us maybe two or three myths? What are some of the myths that people have regarding sickle cell disease in the sickle cell community?
The main one is probably that it's a black disease. People of different ethnicities can be affected by it. If you're from a tropical region that had a high prevalence of malaria, so the Mediterranean, if you're from Italy, Greece, where else? North, south of, what is it, South America?
Yep, that's correct.
So there's many different places that, or you can be of many different ethnicities and be affected by sickle cell. It's not just a black disease. It might be majority of the people affected are African-American, but there are people who have no African ancestry that are affected by this disease.
Right.
Let's see what
And what about the pain? I know another common myth I hear is the pain, that people don't believe it because sickle cell patients tend to look healthy. Can you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, so they don't believe. People who have sickle cell, I mean, unless you see them in the hospital, they look just like me or you, your average, employee or family member. They don't look sick, and people with sickle cell tend to kind of have learned to hide their pain well, so they don't look sick in any way. So people tend to dismiss their pain, because especially in the medical field, when they go to doctors or hospitals or whatnot, they might say, well, I'm at a 10, and the doctor or nurse or medical tech is looking at them and like, well, you're on your phone or you're not crying, so you can't be in that much pain because you're not, physically displaying that you're in distress. So
wow.
That can be hard for, warriors, and it makes them apprehensive about even going to get help even when they need help. So one of the things here in Nevada that we're working on is the transition, because when they're in pediatric care, you have your parents that can advocate for you for, different services. But once you're like 18, there's nothing there to help you transition from pediatric care to adult care. So that seems to be between 18 and like 20 something. That seems to be where people with sickle cell are dying more because they are not able to advocate for themselves. They get frustrated trying to go into medical facilities and not being heard and being turned away or being labeled as, you know, drug addicts, complainers, over-exaggerators. And so they tend to not even want to go seek help in, you know, hospitals or ERs because they don't want to have to deal with trying to, you know, convince someone to give them the pain medication or to check on them and make sure they're okay because they're in so much pain. So, of course, when they go and they're trying to explain or express what's going on with them and they're getting pushback from doctors and nurses and other medical professionals, it makes them not even want to bother going to, you know, a medical facility. So they're suffering at home, and sometimes they can suffer so much at home that they end up, you know, passing away. Or the doctors, even when they go to the hospital, they might admit them, but they, you know, oh, they're all right. They can wait 4, 5, 6 hours for medication. I have other people who, you know, need immediate help. They don't look sick. And they're, like, dismissing them. And then it's, you know, it becomes a fatal situation where people can die because they're not getting the medication. They're not being gentle with or with, you know, administering medication or, you know, administering the blood through their ports or whatever they may have. So, you know, that can cause more pain and, you know, sometimes death. So these doctors need to, these medical professionals should understand that when they get a sickle cell patient, they actually have somebody's life in their hands. And the way that they treat them, their bedside manners, could be the difference between that person going home or that person going to the morgue.
Wow, that is powerful. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. And that is why, another reason why, is we're not just advocating for a cure and for funding, but to change the perception so that these patients are respected. I'm sorry, what did you say, Pillar?
Sensitivity. There has to be sensitivity.
Yes.
In so many of these hospitals.
Absolutely. So
there's a lack of that. And especially, unfortunately, because there is, you know, there is some racism, you know, with African Americans, and then put on top of it that they have sickle cell. So it's already been, you know, there's been research done that some medical professionals think that African Americans can take, you know, a lot of pain. So they have that perception, and then they have sickle cell. So it's like, oh, they'll be okay. And they're ignoring, you know, things that they could have done to, you know, help that person alleviate the pain or save their life.
Wow. Thank you. Wow, wow, wow. This is such great information, and this podcast will remain permanently. So not only will we obviously send it out to all of our subscribers and on all of our social media outlets, but also, you know, at different intervals, we're going to you know, replay this and also interview other individuals and families and persons from the sickle cell community. So thank you, ladies, for painting such a powerful picture that
thank
people
you.
Can, everyday, you know, individuals can actually grasp. But I know people will want to get involved, you know, once they hear your stories and, you know, hear how they can support. So on another note, what's the biggest win so far in your advocacy efforts? Can you both give me one big win? Pillar, if you can, I'll start with you.
Oh, Lord.
it's been so many for both of you. I know it's hard to choose.
You get on my case. You're always, you know, you need to take a break and celebrate your wins. But I, and that's a flaw of mine. I never stop to think. We've done so much that I'm very proud of, and it's hard to pick one. But something that for me was a big win was the creation of the first sickle cell awareness frames on Facebook. We did that for we did that for World Sickle Cell Day 2017. And I remember everybody was like, oh, thank you, Facebook. You finally we finally have a frame. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Facebook. You finally listened to us. And I didn't say anything. Somebody else who knew that I created it. Created this post, but it made me feel so proud because in like 24 hours I had over 500 friend requests we now had a way to identify people who care about the cause. And for so many, it was a big deal, because I had people saying, "Oh, I always felt alone. I thought I was the only one because I'm the only one in my family." Now they had people that they could connect with, and it was such a beautiful, beautiful experience.
Yeah.
And so that would have to be it for me. And now we have so many friends, and I'm so happy.
Oh, wonderful. And it had how many, can you just give an approximate of how many hits it had? I mean, it...
Over 2 million, for sure.
Oh, wow. Yes, 2 million. Yeah. 2 million.
My goal was for at least 10,000 people to use the frame, and we blew past it. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Congratulations. Oh, my goodness. Wow. So you see what a big difference you both can make and we can make just by taking those steps. Oh, thank you. So, Gina, share with us one of your big wins.
I guess I'll share that, you know, my big win just occurred this weekend. We held the first sickle cell walk in Las Vegas in 5 years. And it had a great turnout.
Woo!
And Be the Match was able to get 47 people signed up on the bone marrow registry, which they said usually at things like, you know, like a walk, they might get 6 or 7 people to sign up, but they got 47 people to sign up for the bone marrow registry, which bone
that
marrow
is amazing.
The only cure known right now for sickle cell. So that was a big win.
That's huge for your first walk. And your foundation is less than a year old, isn't it, Gina?
Yes, it was established in April of this year.
Oh, my goodness. You two,
yeah.
You know what? Oh, my goodness. Two powerhouses. That is absolutely amazing to be able to galvanize all of that support, then get Be the Match, then all of the partners. That is so awesome. I just want to say congratulations, ladies.
Thank
Your work
you.
Does not go unnoticed. You know, I'm going to shout it from the rooftop. Some of my colleagues in the industry would say, you don't have sickle cell, do you? Because, I mean, you But I just believe it's just a part of my calling, and I will always be passionate. I had a relative. She lived 60 years young, but I saw my first crisis when I was 11 years old, and I didn't know that was going to be a part of my destiny to work with this community. So I just want to say huge hugs, hand claps, and just thank you, thank you, thank you for all you do. And I'm going to be right along. Emerge Woman Magazine and Media Enterprise is going to be right along with you to make sure we make sickle cell popular and get this awareness out there. Also, to increase those blood donations and diversify the blood supply. So I hear you, but Filler. On an ending note, how can our listeners, now it obviously costs money to make impact, so how can, I just want both of you to share, we'll start with you, Gina, if someone wants to donate to your foundation financially, get involved, volunteer, that kind of thing, how can they reach you and partner with your agency? Please let us know.
To reach us, you would just need to visit us at www.dreamsicklekids.org. And you can donate, or if you want to contact us and reach out about partnerships or volunteering, that will be the email address for everything.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. And for you, Mapillar?
I think one of the biggest ways that people can support our efforts is, of course, you can go to learn more about what we do. Because I didn't go into our programs and services, but you can find that information on my3sicklers.org, and you will spell out the word three. So mythreesickler.org, and you guys can also donate your birthday to MTS on Facebook. That is one of the biggest ways that we've been raising funds with people donating their birthdays in honor of a sickle cell patient.
Wonderful. Yeah. And you know what I love is the work that's also done together, the
the collaborative efforts. So you and Gina have actually communicated and have been in touch with one another, Gina
yeah,
and the Pillar?
Yeah, she sent me some money for the walk.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yes. I love it. Teamwork makes the dream work. That's
right.
Wonderful.
Yes, I told her I'm gonna come up there one day, and she's gonna come down here one day.
Oh,
she
wonderful.
Ricky Martin, though, but I don't know. She wants to see Ricky Martin, but I mean, if that's the excuse she has to use,
I'm seeing you too. Come on.
Oh, so that's the real reason, huh?
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Oh, well, ladies, I just want to thank you so much. So as we wrap up this call, is there any one thing real quick, I mean literally 60 seconds, that you would want the public to know or the community to know before we conclude the podcast?
Just to take some time to learn something about sickle cell, because you never know who you're sitting next to or working next to that might be affected by sickle cell. Either they may have it or they may have a family member that has it as well. And, I mean, just at least one thing, if you can learn one thing so that you can probably relate to somebody impacted by sickle cell.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, Gina.
Thank you.
Mapillar, did you want to share anything?
For me, I would like to speak to the sickle cell patients who are, I'll say families who are listening. Please, please, please share your stories. Nobody can tell your story better than you. I promise you people care. It's just sometimes they don't know. And they'll only know if you tell them. So the time for you to suffer alone is no more. We're out here to get the world to care. So please tell your stories.
Wonderful. Oh, what a perfect conclusion. Thank you so much, ladies. And
thank you.
Mapillar, you're welcome. You were featured in the premiere issue, and Gina is leading the pack for our special tribute in our November 2018 issue. Yes, where we're going to highlight about four foundations, and we're going to open up with Gina's foundation. I'm just so impressed with all that you've been able to accomplish in such a short time. And thank you for your support of Emerge Woman Magazine as well. So, ladies, I just want to thank you again for your time, your commitment to our communities and your families, and thank you again for being on the podcast tonight. Have a great night.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye,
bye-bye.
Y'all.
Bye.